Hello, hi, welcome to another Chisa Pod. I am Joy Mpande. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today in studio, we have a very familiar face. We see her on TV and hear her on music platforms. We see her on stage. We see her pretty much everywhere. I'm talking about none other than Nirvana nor Kwemseleko.
Yes, Umzanzi Celebville is filled with flavor.
But you know that ge o batla go tseba gore fame e re mo ngwaneng, or who secured the latest bag,
or just who's dripping with sauce,
and who's adding the spice.
Jonga yongi into nje.
Because if it's hot, then it's definitely in the Chisa Pod.
Hello, hi.
Hey, Joy. How are you?
I am amazing. How are you doing, girl?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming through.
Yeah.
Fresh from an event, yeah. And you were the best host.
Oh, thank you. I really
And you made it
that.
Here. Like, we forgave you. And you're like, okay.
I'm sorry, I'm guys.
It is what it is. But we're going to get into that because that's definitely a conversation I want to have with you a little bit later.
Yeah.
But I wanted to start from the beginning of things.
Mm.
The genesis of things is where it really is. I think... I discovered that, no, you are pretty much, you've been in the industry, and that's because your mom has been in the industry.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that growing up in, tell me about just your upbringing. I know it was very much music related from a young age.
Yes.
Let's get into it.
Well, interestingly enough, now, just touching on the Connect Supper Club, which was last night's dinner, the second dinner that we had. And my upbringing, we were surrounded by a lot of like people from abroad in terms of like arts and culture. So there was a lot of intersectionality in terms of arts, development, education, uplifting the community. And so I had a huge, huge, huge exposure to international relations. I was in rooms that like didn't quite make sense or perhaps weren't appropriate for a child, but they were appropriate for human beings who were wanting to grow. And so the gift of music and entertainment that my family has, what, you know, it afforded us the ability to connect with so many different people on so many different fronts and actually create intersectionalities. Like my mom at her old home, she would literally have like a cultural exchange where a bunch of people from maybe six different countries come to our home and we, you know, display Zulu culture.
Wow.
And so when you ask that question, and I thought about the Connect Supper Club, the values are pretty much the same.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this has been a very long journey.
It has been a very long journey.
Yeah.
I think, but we always talk about like, I mean, right now there's a show on Showmax.
Yes.
Born a Star. Raised by a Star, Born a Star, whatever it is.
Yes.
It's born in whatever.
Famous or Born into Fame.
Born into Fame.
Yes.
There's the show. So I wanted to talk to you about just the pressures, or rather the, what really goes down, you know, when you're raised by like a superstar, essentially.
Yeah.
And it was not just your mom. It was your mom's sister. It was like...
It was my grandparents.
It was your grandparents.
It was my cousins.
It was pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
And you know, when you mentioned that you were in spaces where you feel like as a child, you...
Perhaps it isn't appropriate.
It wasn't appropriate. What exactly... Paint the picture for me exactly what that looks like.
Nelson Mandela's inauguration, like inside.
Inside.
Yeah, because my mom was performing there.
Yeah.
A lot of political events.
Mm.
I'm trying to think. There was something. I'm trying to think if it was a Taiwanese ambassador. Like, you know, every country has like an office in each country to be ambassadors of their specific country. So, lots and lots of that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I think that when I say appropriate for a child, that's what I mean. Because, you know, cognitively, a child can't perceive what's going on. I mean, engage with what's going on.
Yeah.
But absolutely an incredible experience to just be there.
Yeah.
You know? And I think the pressure came with, you know, finding a community that understands your versatility and your ability to move within rooms and be able to navigate any room that you're in. And that's a skill that's very grateful to God that I was able to develop because of my upbringing.
Mm.
That no matter the age group, no matter the LSM, no matter the profession, I know how to navigate that room.
Yeah.
And so finding a community on my level.
Yeah.
When I don't really know where my level is.
Okay.
You know, I'm 28 years old. I just turned 28.
Hey, shout out. Me too.
Oh, girl, 96. What's your birthday? Yes,
31st July.
Ah!
I'm a Leo.
You're a Leo.
Wait.
17.
Oh my gosh.
I swear.
No way.
Swear to God.
Love it.
Sorry for squealing in the mic. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Oh, Leos get this though.
Yeah.
Leos know how to navigate any room.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That definitely does happen.
Yeah.
But like, you know, you speak about it almost like it was just all good and great. But were there any challenges in terms of just how that kind of impacted you? I mean, being exposed to certain things. I mean, I don't know. When I look at a lot of, you know, I guess now we'll call them celebrities.
Yeah.
You just happen to be the celebrity. Other people are just like, I was raised by a star. And
yeah.
They tend to kind of just fall into hard times. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll make a couple of very bad examples with Longwe and Chico Tala, or like Ringo and like Upila, you know, Lozi, for instance. Like when people say like, no, I went through depression mm-hmm. because I was always by myself. Mm-hmm. Were your parents always around, or do you think they were always around because they brought you into their spaces as well?
I was definitely in my mom's spaces a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I would leave school for months because we're in a different country. Just finding my place has always been a challenge.
Yeah.
And so I can definitely resonate with the depression or the lack of wellness on the mental and communal front.
Mm.
But what I will say, I wouldn't attribute that to the lifestyle that my mom had.
Mm.
I would attribute that to just maybe a lack of you know, we're all growing as a community, as a society, learning new things.
Yeah.
We're learning the word trigger. We're learning the terms regulate your nervous system.
Mm.
So I don't think that my parents and even their parents had all the skill set to be able to manage and navigate a child and navigate their own traumas coming out of apartheid.
For sure.
And then even just interpersonal traumas.
Mm.
So I think it came from the dysfunction of my family, not so much because they were famous.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Jeez. And do you still have like mental health? Does the mental health struggles, or do you still battle in that sphere of things?
I mean, I think it's a battle for everyone, because we're constantly adapting. We're constantly trying to. I've never been diagnosed with depression.
Yes.
However, you know, I do go through some interestingly hard times, and the more I go to therapy, the more I use this app, and I want to put everybody on.
Come on,
you can't afford a therapist.
Yeah.
It's called IFS Guide.
Mm.
And essentially, it uses a modality that tends to the different parts of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so this methodology says that you are a person, but you have different parts. And sometimes those parts conflict each other.
Okay.
How can you then begin to have a conversation that is able to tend to your parts without necessarily giving in to their immediate demands, but getting to the root cause of why they exist?
Yeah.
And then coming into harmony with yourself.
Mm.
And so therapy is just, I'm just a developing human being.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I think as a developing human being, I feel pretty confident in who I am. I've had very low lows, you know, catastrophic thinking because I didn't have a skill set, an emotional toolkit to navigate the pressures that I put on myself because of what's going on around me and my values. So, yeah, I think we're going strong and we're very comfortable with being vulnerable and low when we're low and high when we're high.
Yes.
And yeah, but we're going strong.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
So, but I wanted to get into, I mean, the reason why I'm also touching on mental health, because I saw a very dramatic interview of yours. And I'm sure you, and the headline was like, I often hated living, and I'm like, damn.
Oh yeah, I contested with the owners of the podcast with that. So I was like, this is not a reflection of that interview.
Of that interview.
It was very clickbaity.
Yes.
It was weird.
It was weird.
And I fought with them about it, and they're like, no, we do. And I was like, you know what? Whatever. Like,
yeah. It is what it is because we clicked, right?
Yeah, y'all clicked. So.
but your life is not all doom and gloom. And I really want to get into how, you know, your upbringing shaped you. And the reason why I say that, I mean, you're so multifaceted. Mm. You dance. I don't know if you still dance today.
Yes,
I do. You still dance, yeah. Right? You dance and you sing. So you, I also saw a picture of you with your mom. For those who don't know, it's Tu Nokwe. And it was you as a little baby. I think it's on the cover of the CD. I guess back in the day it was a CD.
Yeah,
it was such a cute one. So you've always been exposed into that space. So I want us to, you know, break down these different talents that you have.
Yeah.
Because of course you've carved a path for yourself in this industry. You're definitely leaving a stamp. Outlaws, shout out. But as a dancer, let's get into that. Mm. I mean, you mentioned, I saw somewhere that, you know, from when you were 4 years old, it was a religious thing to definitely practice ever since you were 4 years old.
Mm.
I know for me, when I was growing up, I had to do gospel church choir practice. I hated it so much. So I'm like, I want to go play with other kids.
Yeah, same. I hated it.
You hated it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
100%.
Yeah.
I was like, why do I have to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Until you grew to love it.
I appreciate it now.
Mm.
I don't think... I mean, there were moments where I was like, I really love this, but no.
No.
For the most part, like, when I think about it, it was arduous. It was painful.
Yeah.
Navigating people, navigating yourself, figuring out your worth. Also, there's a thing where people, like... Again, because we don't know how, like, we didn't have the skill set to manage different people, right, growing up.
Mm.
So now I'm, like, hanging out with a bunch of teenagers and I'm, like, 9, 10 years old.
Mm.
And perhaps there's, like, a dance that they need to do and it's a lot more sensual.
Mm.
And I'm, like, I'm not thinking, I'm a 9-year-old kid. This is not appropriate for me.
Mm.
But no one's making provisions for me to be able to participate in a way that's safe for me.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
Okay.
Everybody's just like, and I'm like, I feel left out. What's going on?
Yeah. But I mean, dancing ever since then, you still do dance.
Yeah.
The industry of dance in South Africa, finally, it's kind of like at its peak. It's almost like where Amapiano is right now, where like dance is very much celebrated and it's a career, it's a real career.
Yeah.
Have you been able to like make it a lucrative career for you as well? I mean, we'll talk about acting, we'll talk about,
music,
you know, music, but dance as well. Do you think, would you say that has been...
No, it's not my calling.
Okay.
No, it's not my calling to like make money from.
Mm.
I definitely feel like dance can amplify the things that I do, like music and acting or theater. But it's definitely, I wouldn't call myself a professional dancer.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
I think that title deserves quite a bit. And my energies have... definitely gone towards perfecting and honing in on film and music.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay, let's get into the music element of things because that's the most exciting one for me. I listened to your music from years back. I know as a creative, I'm sure you're just like, no, why did you do that? But Eclipse, but waiting.
Oh, wow.
I listen to Ahamba. I think it's Ahamba and Eclipse, actually. I kind of really like them.
Is
it okay if I like them?
Yeah.
I like them. I was like, okay, like, let's go.
Yeah.
And then recently I also saw you went live. I don't know if it was live or it was a post and you were like, and people were asking you, when is the music coming? And you're like,
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know anything. I don't know. Like, even with Outlaws, guys, oh my gosh.
Mm.
People know more than I do.
Wow.
Like, they'll be like, oh, yeah, no, apparently it's coming out in October in my lives. And I'm like, oh, really?
Okay.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know, or like somebody will announce it or like Showmax announced it, someone at Jabu McDonald. And I'm like, well, that's great.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about my life.
Okay.
Aside from the supper club.
Okay. Which we'll get into. We'll definitely get into. But let's talk about finding your voice in the music space. I mean, when I listen to your sound, I'm like, okay, interesting.
Yeah,
it's like very much, I would put a little bit of, I don't know if I say Willow Smith, if that's like.
I hear you. I get
that. Okay, you get me?
I do understand.
Yes.
I do.
Which I love. I'm a huge fan of her.
Yeah.
So let's talk about you finding your voice and your tone and just, you know, your sound in the music space and how that's also evolved. I mean, yes, we don't know when it's coming out, but
I would say that like finding my voice was definitely like a combination of the influences I had growing up. So lots of traditional sounds, you know, very irregular beat patterns. I love Zulu drums. I'm obsessed. Like when I'm producing, I have in mind that it needs to kind of sound like a Zulu drum all the time. And I was very adamant on being able to create some form of a blueprint for a genre that I wanted to create called Cosmic. And so I was so strict about it. And we released Nervous Love, I think it was about three years ago now. And I cemented it. It didn't do well, but people loved it. The people that loved it, loved it. And so now I'm a lot more easy about, you know, getting my voice out there and my music out there, my production out there in a more commercial way. So having given myself the time to cement that portion of Nirvana, another Nirvana wants to come out now. Very sensual, very R&B, very, very, very commercial.
Is that why maybe like we're kind of prolonging the release of music?
And it's shame, it's not intentional. I think sometimes I don't, and I don't know if you believe this, but like, you know, I feel like sometimes God is our personal manager. You know, and God, like there were times where I'd force to do it, and it's like, because people are like, where's the music? And I'm like, you know, it's not the right time. It's not the right time. So now it's feeling like it's the right time.
Are you signed?
No.
Would you actually consider being signed? I mean, right now in the music industry, I'm sure you know the conversations with people not reading contracts, not understanding how the music business works. Have you also informed yourself in that line of things as well?
I have. And I think one of the reasons I took a backseat is because it didn't make financial sense for me. And I think it only made financial sense for a few people who are also complaining about how it's not making financial sense, you know? So I was just like, this feels like, why do I feel like I'm begging people to listen to my music for 0.006 cents? And I put in like 15,000 rands into the song. You know, it didn't make sense. Then I found NFTs. Non-fungible tokens. And I was like, oh, there's a new economy where we can actually really get money for the music that we create. And that also, and I gave it my all, and that also didn't make sense because it was like leaving out so many people from participating within that economy, and it just wasn't sustainable. So I think with regards to music, the way I'd like to frame it is around like a larger experience and campaign that people can be like, I was tangibly there. Or I can tangibly hold this. You know? You know, I think at different levels, I mean, at Beyonce, even Beyonce is complaining about the money in music. You know what I mean? You know, so for me, I just don't want to do something that doesn't make sense to me financially anymore. And I think I ran around a lot thinking that, oh my gosh, this music video is going to blow. And then eventually we're going to get more deals. And it's like, no, the maturity that I have now is concrete things. You know, I need to... I have goals, you know, I have very big, lofty goals for my personal life, for my business life. So in terms of the way people conventionally do music, I don't think I'm going to conventionally do music in that way. Which is going to be interesting. I think I'm going to use conventional platforms to market that experience that I want people to tangibly buy into.
Do you still have a studio in your room?
Yeah, it's packed away. It is. I was really taking a backseat. Because I was like, this is not making sense. And actually, my microphone, I had to sell it one time because I was like, girl,
it needs some coins.
We need some coins.
Because
you know, it's not easy. And now I'm finding my feet. Now I'm like, okay. This is my, like, I know my worth now. You know, I know my worth. We're not just doing it for the passion. And I think something that young people are told so much, which is, I think, terrible advice. Is that if you don't do it for the passion, just don't do it at all. And you have to do it. Sometimes you're going to go hungry. It's wrong that you're going hungry. You know what
already.
I mean? It's not okay. Yeah. It's not okay for you to be primed to be exploited and abused for your time, your creativity, your efforts. You know? That's not okay.
No.
So for me, I had to uncondition myself. It's for the love. It's for the... get the romanticism out of your head. You have bills to pay. You have dreams to fulfill. And if you don't get a grip on having that financial aspect of your life, it's somewhat in your hands. Of course, it's not going to be entirely in your hands because you're working with people and you exist in an economy. You're forever going to be exploited to other people's abuse.
Yes.
Yeah. So
that's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
But I think, I wonder actually if you've explored this. I mean, you're an actress as well. Music scoring, that's also a very beautiful way of, you know, making the music. You know what I mean? Have you explored that as well? Or have we already heard your song on a... on a movie and we don't know?
No, you have not heard my song on a okay. music. I would like that. That sounds great. It's not a goal of mine, but like if it happens, that's great.
Yeah. Let's get into the main juice of you, I guess, if I can say that. That's the subject. But you as an actress as well.
Yes.
How would you describe the evolution of your career in that space?
Yeah. So this is my 11th year as an actress, like professionally.
Yes.
And so, it's been a lot of upcoming because I look young. Lots of, you don't know the industry, you're still new in my 11th year.
Jeez.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm noticing that people's metrics, value, standards, and ideas of like the industry are so vastly different. You know, I have a particular standard that I was raised to have about entertainment and what I give.
Yes.
And people have very different standards of navigating, and it becomes very hard to like know why perhaps you're not being hired for something. Because it's not just about whether you're good for the role.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's been an interesting time. And even on that front, getting to the point where I'm very intentional about what I choose to be on. It's not just about being an actress for the sake of being an actress. There's certain stories that I want to tell.
Okay.
There's certain environments that I want to be in. And there's certain environments that I don't want to be in.
Okay.
You know? And I just, I think at some point in your healing journey, you get tired of people dangling the carrot in front of you.
Yes.
And then they give you just the tip.
Ish.
And then they dangle it somewhere.
Hey.
And it's like you work so hard to be liked by people, to consider you. And when I look back, I'm like, this is not normal. This is not natural. So very different stage.
So have you declined? I mean, the fact that you're saying you can choose, or right now you do have the luxury, or rather you mature enough to say no to certain things.
Yeah.
Have you declined like roles before, and how many? Like that is...
There's one role that I regret having taken. And I had to...
Now you gotta act it out. You gotta act like you like it.
Yeah, I really regret taking that role. I wasn't excited about it when I read it. It was just, And then there was another one where I was just like, this pay doesn't make sense. Like, don't call me for things like this. You know, and also the story wasn't invigorating. I was like, there's no, what's the point? Like, why are we doing this?
To be on TV.
Just to be on TV.
Yeah.
So that you can give me money, like, give me money that's going to finish in 2 hours.
In 2 hours.
You know, like, it's just like, so from what I remember, two right now.
Yeah.
And then possibly three.
Okay.
Depending on how things go.
Yeah.
Now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
And it feels so good to say no, guys. Say
it
no.
It feels great.
Say no more often.
Yo. Some people don't definitely have that luxury, but also that's because of, you know, I was listening to another podcast the other day with this actress speaking about how the injustices of this industry has just been normalized.
Yeah.
So you're just like, okay, it just comes with, you know, the industry. And the fact that we've now made it okay for the South African acting industry, specifically also there, to just, we call it a developing industry.
Why is it developing? We need developer.
No way.
It's weird.
It is weird. It is weird. But lucky, you know, you find other ways to, you know, make money. Life yeah. money. You know what yeah. I mean? To pay the bills. And I guess for you, it's within the business space. Can I say that?
Yeah. And also advertising.
And advertising.
Yeah.
Oh, like what? Modeling social media influencing?
Yeah, that too. But I mean like actual commercials.
Oh, okay. Yes.
You know, that sustained me most of my career.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yes.
So modeling and being an actress, like a character on specific commercials, that industry has got it on lock.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
There's something good happening there.
Yeah.
And I think the film and TV industry could learn a lot from just the advertising portion of TV.
Yeah. Hence, good quality. Everybody's happy. Yes. I've been on a couple of sets before and I'm just like, hey, kumnandi la. And kwadliwa. You're not hungry. With the gang, they take care of you for sure.
Yes.
Okay, but let's get into the business aspect of you as well. The Supper Club is what I know it as, but are there other ventures in the business space that you've taken, or is this like the one?
This is the one.
Tell me about the one.
So the Connect Supper Club is a platform where we align people of compatible values together.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the Tinder of business and social change. Yes. And essentially, we just want to make sure that the right people are in the right rooms. And it was born from a couple of things. You know, I have a lot of friends in politics, in media, and in business. Or people who are just multi-hyphenate, where they're in entertainment and then they're in mining. And it's like, whoa. And I just have a very strong inkling. And I think I get this from my mom because she's a great matchmaker. But I have such a good sense. I may not be able to put it into words, but I know who should meet who.
Okay.
And every time without fail, those people meeting, in particular, if I have that strong urge, something incredible came out of it.
Out of it, yeah.
So I was like, I really want to start, I want to derive value from this, you know? And that value doesn't necessarily, I mean, it will be monetary at some point, but it needs to be more sustainable in terms of the community, right? There's a lot of, like, because people are very one-track minded in Joburg, very, oh, you introduced me to this person, now we're doing music, I'm cutting you out, you know? You know what I mean? Oh, we're not talking anymore.
Yeah.
It's weird. And I was like, I want to introduce a new culture because the way I've been to cultivate such a vast network of people, literally when I'm walking with people, they're like, Navana, you know everybody. And I'm like, yeah, I do.
You actually do.
I do. Well, not everybody. Well, but I do be knowing a lot of people. And so, but like the one thing that I was hungry for and missing for, and I know you'll get this because you're a Leo.
Come on.
Is people who like have genuinely good hearts that are now a network of people, not for necessarily gain.
Yeah.
But now we just connect together.
And then we
connect together on business and social change. But first, we start to get to know each other.
Like, let's be a community.
Yeah, let's be an actual community.
Yeah.
So, long term, it's not just these dinners. So happy to have Stella Artois believe in this idea.
Shout out.
As well as Mama Samba. Mm-hmm. You know, the Colada group is Proud Mary in Rosebank, Fugazi and Mama Samba, and Gary, or Gaza rather, Hollywood.
Okay.
He owns all three restaurants.
Oh, nice.
And I told him about the idea last year, and he was the first one to believe in it, really.
Wow. Okay.
He really was. And he was like, let's do it, you know, let's figure it out. We'll help you any way we can. And then I met my friends at CSA and Stella, and I told them I'm doing these dinners.
Yeah.
We're connecting people of compatible values together from across the globe, you know? And there's a tone about it where you don't have to strive.
Yes.
To be seen or accepted.
No. Yes.
And I think you, tell me what your experience is.
About this experience. You call it a supper club. So to describe it to our listeners, what basically happens, and I like the fact that you said the Tinder of it, it felt like we're speed dating, but in a very businessy, professional manner, where you get to talk to pretty much everybody in the room on the night.
Yes.
And you talk about anything. I know you have like cards and questions that definitely break the ice. I just genuinely was just like, hey, what up? you know, this is what I do, this is what I want.
Yeah.
What do you want? Let's talk. Yeah. Take my number. Yeah. And then like, you know, but I like the fact that you also, oh, wait, let me finish the experience. So then we have some dinner and then we have very deep, well thought out conversations,
yeah,
which I don't think usually come up. I don't know, unless if you are the one who wrote the questions.
Yes, I did.
Really? Yeah. Hectic. Yeah. So in your lifetime, in real life,
yes,
these are the conversations that you're having.
All the time.
Oh my God.
All the time.
Like, when are we going
dips
out?
Oh, like, oh girl.
Like, the questions are like, I want to remember one, like, therapy, is it necessary or is it?
Weren't you in the Libra scales table? How do you balance power?
How do you balance power? And I'm like, these are such thought provoking conversations that need to be had a little bit more often. And
yes,
and it also just helps. Oh, it's like life is so stressful. Let's all figure it out. You know what I mean? Let me hear your perspective on this. And sometimes, you know, if you hear how somebody else what somebody else's outlook on something, it kind of just, you know, expands yours a little
absolutely,
bit more.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So I totally love these dinners that you got going on.
Yeah, girl.
How many dinners have we had thus far?
Two.
This is the second one. Yes, I did see that the first one had Alfie.
Yes.
As the host. Was he the host?
No, he was not the host. He was just a guest. Yeah.
Okay. No, I love that.
Yes.
So how many more are we going to have? I mean, we are trying to understand what the end of the year is looking like.
We're going to have
the rest of the year.
We're going to have one more very special one.
Okay.
And our idea, actually, there's one girl outside. It was her brilliant idea to say, let's merge group one and two.
Oh, yeah.
Of the first two dinners.
Okay, that's why it's like
three.
Big and special.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see how it happens. Mm. But like, we're just so... Yeah, man. It's really about getting people's minds oriented on integrity and ethics and humanity. And from your heart, whatever springs out of your heart in terms of the like the connections that you have, there is something that's holding you accountable, which is the Connect Supper Club.
Yes.
Holding you accountable to a moral compass where you can do business and still think about people's humanity.
Mm.
You know? So... I'm so excited that you came, girl.
I'm so excited that I'm going to be invited to the next one. Period. But I also can't wait for them to be opened up to the public.
Absolutely.
Where I can't even imagine what that would do. It would really be changing, very much life-changing in terms of like just the community at large. So I love that. Before we wrap it up, what is in the pipeline, girl? Obviously, we've got the Supper Club.
Yes.
I don't know if there's anything else that you want to mention before we let it go.
I mean, y'all are going to get music this year for sure. I don't want to talk about why, you know, what my situation is.
Yeah.
But, there is a beautiful song that it's actually finished mastering with Baby Son and Money Star.
Oh, my gosh.
And Money World Star.
Yeah. That is going to be an amazing song. If he's there, I know it.
Oh, he's so he's
incredible.
Amazing. Yeah. Mm. And Steez. And so, I'm very...
Major Steez?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking forward to this one.
And so I'm like really, really just so excited about this. Mm. But like the Connect Supper Club really is something that I'm just focusing on 100%. And this is just the first leg. Like this is so much bigger. So the people that do attend our supper clubs are going to be a part of a global network where we want to make business seamless for you and easy to do. Mm. And you don't have to... keep knocking.
Like,
it's like, no, this person is gonna help you with that.
And
it's so much bigger. It's so much.
Sure.
These dinners are such a great foundation.
Absolutely.
And we're expanding into something much more concrete for our community.
I love that. I also can't wait for the music to drop because now, since I've heard all the songs that are on YouTube, I need to hear the next one. And now that you have my faves, Major Steez, as you mentioned, Money World Star, that really sounds like a banger. So I think in December, we're going to be seeing you keep guiding there.
Maybe, I don't know. We'll
Lord
see, girl.
Knows.
We'll see.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you taking the time out to join us and really all the best on all your ventures. We love documenting it.
Oh, thank you so much.
Period.
I appreciate it.
Yay!